That was nice. Anybody have a hectic week this week? Like, it's woohoo, it's Sunday. We made it. Doesn't God have this perfect plan for life? You work 6 days, and then you rest. How many took time this week to be still? Me neither. We just get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, and we try to make it through. And we leave all this valuable information that God has in His Word, and I sometimes leave it on the table. Are you consumed with God? Have you considered all He has done to get you to this point in time? Like, no one here today is here by accident. When we just take time to think about that, God is overwhelming. That we have the ability and the opportunity to sit at His feet and just find rest, to be restored, to be equipped, to take the next step. We serve an awesome God. Yes, church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day that we set apart to worship You, to learn more about You, to sit in Your presence. Lord, will You speak to us now through this message? Would You open our hearts and minds to be receptive, not to James's word, but to Your word? Create in us a desire to want to know more, to search Your Scripture. And most importantly, Lord, give us the ability to put it into practice. So I give You the praise in advance for what You're going to do in this time. And I pray that what is done in this time is great for Your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Does it seem like no matter how hard you work, things never seem to change? Same stuff, different day. You know the phrase, right? Are you sick and tired of running around on the hamster wheel of life, beaten down and worn out by the demands of your daily life looming or hanging over your head? I've been there. We've all been there. And sometimes we need to pause. We need to take a break and be still before we're going to get a little inspiration to get through it. The truth is, God doesn't want us to remain spinning out of control. Here's a promise for a downright tuckered out, tired spirit. Is that you? I hope not. No matter how weary or exhausted you may feel right now, He wants to energize you and prepare you to take the next step. Not to finish, but to make the move, get off balance, and take a step. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And this is what we read, and I'm reading from the New King James Version just because I like the way it reads. It says, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." And the question that comes to my mind is, who does the "your" here pertain to? And the answer, of course, is found in the first portion of the verse. My dear brothers, right? Like many of the promises found in God's word, this one is meant for a certain people group, the followers of Christ. not the whole world, but for those who believe. The Bible reveals God has so much He wants to give us, but in order to be partakers of His promises and have access to them, we must be followers of Christ. Not churchgoers, followers of Christ. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 tells us, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us every great and precious promise, so that through them you may know, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Would you agree our nature is to follow the things of this world? That is how we are wired from birth. And it has a way of distracting us from the very great things God has in store for us. So Paul instructs us in his very next breath to stand firm. We're to be focused on Jesus and continue focusing on Him no matter what this world throws our way. No doubt at times this can be a daunting task. And it is at these times, when it seems like we can't take another step, that it is imperative that we stand firm in the thought that God is in control. When we do, we'll experience a real change taking place in the outcome of each day. Having a steadfast attitude fixed on Jesus will turn the daily life of chaos that's beating us down into a peace that stays with us no matter what. Are you at peace? Is there joy in your life? Or are you just scratching at the surface, trying to make your way through this day? We're to live this day to the fullest. Yeah, I met with a bunch of guys in a church for a Bible study for a period of time, and we would leave saying, seize the day. You know, the day is what you make it. It's not what it is, what it is. It's not. It is what we make it. God has a plan for us. Have you come to Jesus? I mean, are you experiencing the life-changing power He has for you to get through this day? Do you apply the truths of God's Word to your life daily? For instance, Philippians 4:7 tells us, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When? Are you familiar with this passage of Scripture? When we apply verses 4 through 6, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends, which rises above all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We walk in that strength, Christian, yes? But if we don't know God's Word, how do we walk in His power and strength? If you're there at 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 57. We read, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. He gives us victory He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ, I'm not sure where you're going to get the victory. In your own strength, it's really, really difficult. Please, friends, for me. He gives us the victory to overcome the things of the world when we focus on Him. Then in verse 58, Paul says, dear brothers, stand firm, be steadfast, immovable. Your Bible, if you're in the NIV, says, let nothing move you. The Apostle Paul is instructing us not to take the things of God or the information found in God's Word lightly. This is life. It's power. It's your strength. Not a doorstop. Not an ornament for your coffee table. I love having guests over because my Bible is so beautiful on my little coffee table in the living room. This is my new Bible. I think this is 1, 2, 3, 4. This is my 5th Bible in 58 years. It's large print so I can see it. It's giant print so I can see it. My life Bible is in the car with all my notes. That's where these sermons come from. Life experience. Not school, life experience. Oh. The Apostle Paul is instructing us not to take the things of God and the information found in God's Word lightly, but to stand firm and keep them forefront in our minds no matter what. Do you think Satan wants you to be able to be in the Word all day long? No. Do you think he wants you to have it in your heart and mind so that when life throws something at you, you'll be equipped and ready by the Word it is written? To overcome whatever is attacking you? No. Listen to the information found in just Psalm 46. One psalm of the 150 to choose from. This is what we read. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Do you see the picture here? Think of these words. I mean, when your life seems to be falling apart, is God your refuge and strength? Who do you turn to first? My neighbor, my hairdresser, or God? Verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. That's the city. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise God. Okay. I receive that. The psalmist is describing a time when the world, or at least this city, is falling apart. And we've all had a time like that, right? Where our foundations seem to be crumbling. And yet, despite this calamity, Psalm 46 makes known to us that God is a fortress. And we have no need to fear. I'm standing in this pulpit, man, the trepidation, my stomach's turning, and I'm here now walking in the Spirit and power of God. And I love it. And until you experience the joy of serving your God, I'm addicted to Jesus. I love him because he loves me, and I want you to love him. Psalm 46 makes known to us that God is a fortress, and we don't need to fear. What's true for the nation of Israel thousands of years ago stands true for us today. Pick it up. It's yours. Verse 8 of Psalm 46 says, "Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he's brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters a spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is where we find rest. Have you found his rest? Because I don't know how you make it through tomorrow if you're just barely making it through today. When things get chaotic, we try to calm the storm ourselves, right? I'll get with you, God, as soon as I have everything taken care of down here. That's my mantra for 6 years. Where we pick up our weapons to try and fight. But Psalm 46:10 shows us a different way. We're to be still. We need to remember that God is still in control, knowing that there's no reason to worry or to fight. We're to look to Him and live the day to the fullest, to seize the day. Commentaries tell us the Hebrew word still that's used in Psalm 46:10 is one that means to sink down, relax, let go, cease striving, or withdraw. I picture myself sitting in my most comfy chair where the window, by the window where the sun comes in. You know that warm, comfy feeling? Be still. You see, when we're spinning out of control, running around, trying to do everything ourselves, we lose sight of God. We forget His power. It's His power that makes us immovable. And back in 1 Corinthians 15:58, we see that we're always to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Always. Not just Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Always. In my research for the sermon, I came across a definition. It's so cool. Definition for abound in the King James Dictionary reads this way. To have or possess in great quantity, to be copiously supplied, followed by with or in, as to abound in provision, to abound in good things. I love that thought. We have been copiously supplied with God's provision to accomplish the work He has set out for us to do while we're on the planet. For me, for such a time as this, is to share God's word, and I love it. To receive all the good things provided by God, we need to be still. We need to stand firm. We need to keep the faith. Listen to the instruction of Hebrews 13:5-6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I don't have to stand up here in trepidation thinking what you're thinking about me, because I'm thinking about what God thinks of me. And I want Him to be pleased with me. I have no fear. Fear creeps in, and then someone says, that's not of God. And then I choose to believe it. The work of the Lord is vast and varied. It can mean a million different things to each one of us. So the question I want to pose to you is, what has God asked you specifically to be doing? I'll tell you, for me, after 2 months of rest, He's called me to preach. So I will. But whether at home, or at work, or here at church, or any other area of your life, what's He asking you to do? I don't think He's asking you to be on a gerbil wheel. I don't think He's asking you to be sad or lonely or angry. What is He asking you to do? The author of Hebrews closes chapter 13 at verses 20 and 21 with these words. What a great benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God, are you happy with me right now? Because when I'm by myself, man, sometimes I can believe he's not happy with me when I'm driving. There's 10,000 ways that I need to come before the Lord and be still and listen for him. 1 Corinthians 15:58 reassures us that our labor is not in vain. Did you know that God will reward you for your good works? Yeah, there's a couple of heads bobbing. That's really cool. Whatever we do for the kingdom of God, our labor is not in vain. God has promised to reward us for our efforts. Now, that reward may come in this life. Wouldn't that be grand? But even if not in this life, there's no doubt in my mind that reward will definitely be waiting for us in the life yet to come. I'm not living for today. I'm not living for tomorrow. I'm living for eternity. Is what I'm doing right now making a difference in the kingdom? I hope so. Because I want each and every one of you to go where I'm going. And not where you're going if you don't know Jesus. Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." What we need to come to understand is that when we labor for the Lord, we lose nothing, and we gain everything. Eternity with him. Streets of gold, a mansion. No more pain, no more strife, no more anger, no more. It's a no-brainer in my book. My hope is that you might see your efforts are not in vain when you're working as unto the Lord. My prayer for you today is that you not lose heart when fatigue sets in. And if you're really lucky and loved by a congregation, they'll give you a couple months off to reboot or whatever you do with your computers. I'm ignited. I'm excited. I want to live for Jesus. I get to do what I love to do. Thanks for letting me do it. God will energize you for the work ahead. So may God bless you and give you rest as you take time to be still with your God. Who is your God? TV? Your job? Or God? Allow him to have his way with you so that you can be all he created you to be. Amen? And amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that some things are hard to understand. To grasp, and absolutely to put into practice. God, this week, create in us a time to be still, to be attentive to you, so that we can be all you created us to be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.